Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain honor, bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove. I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.
I mean, thank goodness I have a bathroom close next to me, but I am just so super excited because I can't believe the guest, special guest that's going to be on the show. If you heard of him, his name is John Krang, and I hope I do pronounce it correctly. It's spelled K-R-E-N-G, and do forgive me, I am originally from Boston, Massachusetts, so sometimes I talk funny, but hey, half the world talks funny, so I feel quite normal. So anyway, if people do call in at the 877-907-7217, once again, I do remind you, do not talk about politics or sexual orientation, and please respect my guests on the show, because it's just as if inviting somebody into my house, I will disconnect you faster than you can think. Anyway, I'm going to see if this is actually my special guest. I cannot wait. Oh, my God. This is like history in the making. I'm just so excited. So here we go. Hello,
hello,
caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Yep.
Oh,
can
yeah,
hear me?
I can hear you now. This feels like one of those cell phone commercials.
How you doing? And thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I am so honored. And you know what's really funny? Well, you know how I got on the Facebook on your page, right? I didn't know who was running it because when I grew up, I'm not a chick flick kind of girl, and I saw your page and go, this is cool, I'm going to join it, right? So I'm just sitting there talking with people and stuff, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I'm getting super excited. I mean, it mostly seems like it's all men, but I mean, this is the stuff I love. I love action films, and, you know, especially really great action films from overseas and stuff. And it's like, this is really cool talking with more and different type of people. So it's like, you know, setting a talk with you, and I was like, oh, it'll be cool for you to come on the show. So it's like, you know, I tend to think that throughout my life, I probably did see you in films. I just didn't know what your name was. So it's like, looking at you more and stuff, I'm going, wait a minute, I think I did see you and stuff. And I'm like, I pulled up on YouTube the fight you did with Jet Li, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. And it's like, this is just so strange for me. It's like in my circle that I've been making the connections over the past 7 years, and I'm really excited because with what you do, it's stuff that I love. So for me, for you to sit here and be on the show with me, I'm like, I feel like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. I'm like, I don't know. That's what I feel like right now. I'm just so excited. And, you know, I know, like, you know, I want to talk about one of the films, you know, The Battle of B-Boy. Is that the correct name of the film that you're actually involved in right now?
Yeah. It's actually available now on VMD.
Now, what is that? Now, is this a type of thing like YouTube or something like that? Because there's so many things, and I'm so out of touch with technology. I'm a tech part, too, so I'm learning as I go, and it's kind of where I haven't gotten TV for the past 3 years since I moved up from Maine because I'm working on a couple things myself. But what is the thing that you can see the film? What is it called again?
It's on video on demand. You can order it through Amazon or iTunes or through your cable provider. You can do that, and we're gonna, you know, it's slowly growing into other different subscription channels and stuff. So yeah, it's you know, we did it on our own. It's independently financed, no studio intervention. So it's not formulaic at all. So it's very it's actually a throwback to those 80s dance films, but we combine martial arts in it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I was looking at it, I was like, oh, they're dancing, and then they're beating the crap out of each other. I was like, that's kind of a different twist. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And so how did you, I mean, is this something that you wrote? I mean, how did you get involved in this film?
Actually, the director and the producer, Frank Lin and Jeff Lamb, came up to me and proposed the idea. And it took, like, a couple seconds for me to kind of wrap it around my head. And it said, okay, I'll do it. You know, I just thought of the limitless possibilities that we could do with the fight. You know, each guy had their own, each dancer had their own style. So we just tailored the fights to their style. And, you know, we had some of the best dancers, you know, in the business working on them. We had Ricky Cole, you know, Ace Ventura, Richie Greenfield, you know, Engel, Ndidi. You know, Peppa, we had some really, really, really talented dancers, you know, down there. And there were some other guys that had some cross training also. You know, they are martial artists. Like Ricky is a martial artist, and JD is also named Twix. He was a martial artist. So, and there's some other guys that had some martial arts experience also. So Brian Pentecostes is another guy. So we were able to, you know, mutate, you know, this kind of thing that was happening. So it was great. I mean, the creative freedom was amazing. You know, Frank gave us a lot of freedom to do what we needed to do, you know, within the limited budget of you know, how we shot it. But yeah, it was probably one of the most memorable experiences that I've had as a stunt coordinator and a fight choreographer. You know, it felt like family. Everybody there was, you know, understood. Everybody there was there because they loved the project, you know. So, you know, there was not that many egos. It was just very, it was very easy. I shouldn't say it was easy because of the time we shot it at.
Yeah.
But it was, everybody was on the same page. So it made it so much easier to choreograph.
Yeah, and it's something where, you know, I'm dying to see it, and I think when I get time this weekend on my downtime, I'm going to sit there and actually watch it off Amazon, because I'm always looking for something different, and there's so many things that are played out in, like, Hollywood, and they seem to, like, keep doing too many parts to something and too many remakes or, you know, or these films, and they're spending lots of money on it. It's kind of like they spend millions on films, and it's kind of like then if you happen to see you on millions for what? So it's like films like this, like independent films, where you have a limited budget, right? I mean, I know a lot of people in the indie world, and, you know, most people that work full-time jobs, you know, they don't really have backers, and then they have to film afterwards. So, you know, they're already working as it is just to, you know, get it done. So I have more appreciation for independent filmmakers, practically, because they're starting from scratch. You know, they're working even twice as hard sometimes. But the thing that I love the most is the respect that I have for people, you know, like yourself and many others, where they're not just actors, but they do their own stunts and fights. And for me, that's what gets my attention with people. And I have so much respect for you guys. It's just like, man, to be able to do that stuff. And then I was just watching your YouTube with the thing with Jet Li and the Master, and I didn't know, I guess Jet broke his arm and he beat you with his cast or something. What happened with that?
Oh, God. Yeah, I was, when I got the job, he said, yeah, you get to fight Jet, and this and that. I was like, oh, awesome. And then I saw him on the day. I actually heard the day before that he broke his arm, and, previously, and I was like, oh, man. So I mean, it was just an honor just to be on that stage, you know, on the set with him, you know, and, you know, he was, you know, this was his fourth or fifth movie. I can't remember exactly which one, but, yeah. It was his fourth or fifth movie after you know, including the three he did in the mainland. So he was, you know, he was still, you know, young and he popped. And man, it was an honor seeing him, because I remember when I saw the Shaolin Temple and Martial Arts of Shaolin, I saw him do that corkscrew, that twister where he twists, you know, does the barrel roll three times. I couldn't believe that was real. I thought, well, you know, they sped it up, they cut it, they did this and that to it, you know, special effects. But when I saw him do it for real, I was just like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. And it was funny thing was I couldn't believe it, because he beat me up, and then I fell down to the ground, and I'm dead, right? I'm supposed to be dead. And he goes to the next guy, and we're shooting this all in one take. He goes to the next guy, and he does that move. So I fall down, you know, I'm supposed to be laying dead, right? So I keep one of my eyes slightly open, and he does it. And it's as fast as you see on film. And it just tricked my brain, you know. My brain was like going, that was not possible. So I couldn't control it. I went, oh, my God. And the director yells, cut! You know, get away. He goes, you're supposed to be dead. And people don't yell, oh, my God. You know, and Jet looked at me and he started laughing. I go, and I just apologized to him. I said, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I work with you. Yeah, I'm a fan of yours, and I've seen this before, and I couldn't believe it was possible. And then when I saw it, I was like, this is impossible. My brain just couldn't fathom him doing that. And he just started laughing. He goes, no, it's okay, you know. So, and he did it again. And this time I still kept my eyes open. I just kept my mouth shut. Because I had to see it again. I was like, all right, this is you.
So you're like, you're kind of crazy in your own little way. It like reminds me of me, because everybody's like, you know, when I first started getting into sets, and like I was on the game plan and The Rock was on set, so I was going with the flow. It was a football player. I was a crazy woman that was an extreme fan, and even though I was an extra, I was going with it. I was just like, oh my gosh. And, you know, that was one of my first experience working on set, and it's just like, people like, oh, my gosh, she's so crazy. And it was just like, it's a long story. I'll have to write to you about it on Facebook. But, you know, it's kind of like when you're there, when you first get into it, it's kind of like, wow. And then after I realize it's really a lot of work. And I heard this story about you, okay?
Okay.
And it's a cute little story, and it was about something to do with Jackie Chan's big brother, Sammo. And I heard you snuck into a set and dressed up like a janitor to get onto a set to meet Sammo. Is that true?
No, I don't know where you got that from. I saw you post that. I was like, going, no, that's not true. I met him
Someone
on the set of martial law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder who said that.
Look on the page. It's like where your stuff is. And I was like, there's someone, one of the guys on the page says, you are dressed up like a janitor and to sneak onto the set. And I was like, really? And I'm like, I was like, whoa. And I'm like, wait a minute, because I wrote that. I thought that's what something that happened. I go, oh, yeah, look at me. I'm telling lies about John now. So so what happened? What was the truth? Tell us the truth, because you're lying on the air. I want to know.
It's probably one of my friends is doing a prank, you know, and I'm out to get them. Whoever said it, I'm out to get you. But what happened was I was writing for TC Media, who publishes Kung Fu Tai Chi and World of Martial Arts magazines. I wrote for them for over 7 years. And I became the entertainment guy that, you know, because I was the first guy to break open Jackie Chan in their magazine, and I asked him some really, you know, upfront questions. You know, like, what is it that you don't like about American martial arts films and stuff like that? He was brutally frank about it. And I was like, mm-hmm. Wow. I go, Jackie, do you want me to publish that? He goes, yeah, go for it, man. So I published it, and then, you know, it got the trust of some of the other Hong Kong guys that, you know, that wanted that requested in, you know, that were supposed to be interviewed. So I got, you know, they go, well, we want to do it with him. You know, I was like, oh my God. So that's how I got Jackie. That's how I got Samo. That's how I got Yung Wu Ping and a couple other guys. So that's how that all happened. And what happened with Samo was, this was while he was working on martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when Samo was working on martial law. And what happened was my friend Michiko Nishiwaki was the one that told him a lot about me, because he has every movie you've done and da-da-da, and he studies it and this and that. He goes, that's impossible. He goes, no, I've seen it. I've seen it on this wall, all the videos. And he's like, okay, well, bring him in. I want to talk to him. So I spent all day on martial law just talking to him in between takes, and he was the most cordial guy. I was in awe. I was in Hong Kong geek movie heaven when I talked to him. He was just a great guy to talk to. He didn't pull back any punches. He was very sincere and honest with everything he told me. I was like, man, this is amazing. You know, Samo's one of my heroes. I mean, Samo, Jackie, Yung Wu Ping, you know, Loco Long and Robert Tai, all those guys, man. I mean, I grew up watching their movies, and you know, they're awesome guys. I mean, I have their movies and I sit and study them. Yeah.
You sound like me. It's like, because I'm a lot older than people would think I am, and it's like just growing up watching, like, it's like, you know, I guess for a long time growing up, I kind of hid the fact that I liked a lot of, like, martial arts films and stuff, and I was almost kind of ashamed to admit it. And it's like coming out about 7 years ago, like, my big dream is to work with Jackie. I mean, I love Jackie, and I write about him all the time, and I'm actually doing an independent film, you know, dedicating it to Jackie. And when you know, I know what you feel like when you said you about, you know, talking to Samuel, because that would be the same way if I sat and talked with Jackie. It would be the same thing with me. And just to hear that, it's like passion in your voice. I was like, you understand. It's like, you know, it's like when I hear that, I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm so jealous of you right now. I just can't because it's like, you know.
Well, you know, it's what Joseph Campbell always says. You have to follow your bliss. You know, no matter how absurd or crazy, you know, the people around you think, you just got to follow your bliss. You know, you follow your bliss in life, and you'll find your harmony. You'll find your strength in life, and that's, you know, always been my philosophy. I mean, I'm not, you know, when you do that, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be smooth sailing, but, you know, mm-hmm. It helps you through the rough times, you know, especially when you're, you know, that passion that gets you through the rough time, you know.
You really do have that, and it's like, I was watching, like, I was trying to find more stuff about you. You have this huge thing on IMDb, and I want to talk to you first about this thing about YouTube, and I was laughing, and I was like, I ran home from lunch so I could post stuff on my Facebook page, and I was watching your YouTube skit, and you were talking about it. I was like, I was just dying laughing. I wanted to finish watching it because I work like 10 hours a day. I try to work Monday through Thursday, 10 hours a day, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I can work on, you know, films and stuff. So I ran home, you know, opened up my computer and stuff, and I was watching this YouTube, and you were talking, I don't know if it was Comedy Connection or not, but you were talking about, you know, not to eat the Thai food because, you know, you'd be doing something afterwards. And I was like, he's crazy. I like him, right? So you're going on and on more and more. And I'm just like, the end of it, it was just like the part where you were talking about you married someone that was Jewish. So you had this whole thing about the wedding and stuff, and it's like, the thing that I couldn't stop laughing, and I posted on my Facebook page, is at the end, he said, well, you know, like, hey, yeah, Asians can't drive, and you're doing a thrusting motion. I'm sitting there just, like, rolling. I said, this guy's awesome. I just, because I've done dinner comedy theater, and I'm crazy just like that, just more outrageous and stuff. I was like, this guy's pretty cool, and just trying to learn more and more. And when I, excuse me, I'm coughing here. I'm like, I'm so excited right now. I'm choking on my spit right now. I'm like, so... When I was trying to watch a little bit more about you and what touched me very much, I started watching, saying, you know, you wanted to take up martial arts and you really couldn't afford it. So, like, what happened? I mean, what got you into acting, into martial arts? How did you get into it when you didn't have the money? How did you do that?
Well, when I was a kid, you know, my mom, you know, it was, you know, from a single parent, you know, my mom, my dad died when I was a year old, so... My mom decided to stay here in America to give me a better shot at life. So, you know, she suffered. She worked several jobs. You know, I hardly ever saw her, but you know, she was always around when I needed her. But what happened? You know, there were a bunch of things that she couldn't provide for. You know, like one was my extracurricular activity after school. And at the time, you know, it was martial arts, and I wanted to do it. I wanted it so bad. So my mom would, you know, she would give me, like, during my birthday, she would give me, you know, what do you want? And I'd tell her, and she goes, I want martial arts lessons. She goes, okay, well, I can only afford introductory lessons. I said, okay, fine. You know, I'll take that. I don't care, you know, so I did.
Yeah.
And after a while, the instructor saw, you know, that my passion for it, and he goes, hey, look, you know, why don't you just hang out, you know, and just, you know, sit, you know, stay in the back and just work out with us, you know, until the owner says something, you know, because he saw my passion, my desire for it, you know, and they kind of took sympathy upon me, and then one of my instructors at the time, you know, his name was Mike Kinney, he saw it, and he says, hey, look, you know, just show up an hour before class, help me teach the kids, and you got lessons, you know. You know, and I got my black belt. That's how it happened. I mean, I just wanted it bad. I wanted it really bad. That's how it was.
That's just something. See, that's like, I love hearing stuff like this because it inspires me, because I'm sitting here going, you know, I'm in my 40s, and next month I turn 42, and the thing is, I had really, I mean, my whole life, I've loved martial arts, and, like, when girls were, like, younger and they liked Barbies and stuff, I wanted to be a ninja. And it's like, you don't, I guess growing up where I lived, you can't really talk about things like that. It was kind of like, I don't know if it was just weird and not normal, and it's like trying to get into martial arts because of something sad that happened to my life. My life in my late 30s, I had gotten divorced. You know, I was with someone for like 10 years. I got divorced and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and look into martial arts. So my late 30s, I stepped into a dojo, and I took on and off for 2 years in capoeira, and it gave me self-confidence. People like, you know, Shelley, you're really crazy. You know, why don't you get into acting? And I thought I wasn't pretty enough. And they're like, no, you don't get it. You have a great big personality. You can do comedy and stuff. And I was like, nah, I don't know. I'm not like a model. And they're like, just go ahead and do it. So I got into dinner theater, then got into like big film sets and started getting into independent films and just leading more and more and meeting people, just networking like yourself. It's just like one of those things. It was one of those accident things. And that's like a blessing. And for me, I just feel so honored for you to sit here and to tell some of your backstory, and I get so excited, and these are the stuff that make my life really happy, enjoyable for this, you know, when I'm, you know, having a hard day, like crazy working in customer service it's really hard because, you know, people, you know, I mean, you probably know what customer service is sometimes really hard, I mean, waitressing or whatever, and then it's academy special moments. This is, yeah, you make up, I mean, things like this make up everything. It's just like something, it's like, well, I'll be smiling for the next couple of days, like, you won't believe, okay. And sitting here, you know, just talking with you and having a conversation, it's just like, it's like no amount of money can bring happiness like this. I just feel so honored, and, you know, to want to know more, you know, you got into martial arts. How did you get into acting?
How do I say that? It's. I never considered myself an actor, to be honest with you. I even though I was a stand-up comedian, it's a little different, you know. But you know, my here's a funny story. when we were working on Battle View Boy, my girlfriend, she's an actress and she's a stunt person and a martial artist. So she kind of coached me through all the scenes in Battle B-Boy. So I, you know, I was kind of reluctant about acting. And, you know, because it's just like I was focused mainly on stunts. And then Frank, you know, the director said, look, we want you to play Jimmy, the mentor that teaches these kids how to fight while dancing. So I said, all right. I just a couple lines here and there. And then as it progressed, it got bigger and bigger. I was like, oh, God, okay. And then... You know, my girlfriend said, you know, I gotta, you know, let me help you with this. So she's been acting since she was a little girl. So she just really helped me get through it. I mean, it's very tough, you know, to be an actor. Mm-hmm. You have to be vulnerable and all this other stuff. And on top of choreographing, being a stunt coordinator and you know, with some of my other duties during it, it was you're juggling, you're multitasking, and you know, I put in Battle B-Boy, there's 18 fight scenes, and that's a lot, you know, for a western film. Usually, you know, you get it's like maybe 3 or 4, but there was about 18 fight scenes.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and I was in two of them, so it was rough. I was like, but you know, we got through it. And I am just very grateful that I've had that opportunity, and I had, you know, support of, you know, the director and the producer and, you know, my girlfriend, you know, coaching me throughout the whole thing. So I mean, when I was doing this, I realized how hard it is to do this. I mean, as I was doing it, I was like, and I can't even begin to imagine what Jackie or Sammo or any of those guys go through while they direct themselves, they choreograph their own fight scenes while they act. I mean, it was just crazy, you know. So I'm, you know, it's like a muscle, like anything else that you have to practice. The more you practice, the better you're going to be at it. But you know, it's not. Yeah, some people think, you know, fighting on film is real easy. It's like fighting in real life. I go, no, it's not. It's nowhere close to that. It might look like the same on surface, but you know, underneath the iceberg, it's much more layered, much more difficult than you might expect. You've got to act while also in a physical conflict. You also have to know when to let up on the person and make it look like you're still choking them or whatever, you know, even though you're not. So you know, it's a lot of stuff, and you got to know the right angle. You got to be aware of the camera. You know, and you know, got to remember your lines. You got to remember the emotional changes that go throughout the whole fight. You know, and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's really hard.
it's
kind of like, you know, I totally understand. Like, I've only had a little bit of work, and I tried doing things, but sometimes you probably know in independent film, sometimes you could work on things and you might not hear from people again. So it's like, you know, how can you put something on a resume when you don't even have proof of what you've done? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like there's no proof out there. So I just had to keep finding companies that I wanted to work with, and one of the companies that I'm working with, Unicovia Pictures, were doing a film called Falcare, and ever since I was little, I wanted to play Wonder Woman, and it's something where in a film, I am kind of a Wonder Woman. We're taking horseback riding lessons. We're going to do our own fight scenes and stuff, and the guy that's ahead of it, Ahura, he's actually he actually is from California, but he's also, you know, a martial artist, and he's a headmaster at a school. And in a smaller film, he wanted me to fight him. And, you know, he knows many different martial arts, and I was like, you know, tell him. It says no one wanted to give me a chance. And he's like, ah. So he goes, okay, you're going to fight me in the film. And I'm like, huh? I'm all excited. But I go, huh? I've never done that before. Never really experienced it. Because, like, and being thrown around on the winter ground in Maine, let me just say, that has a lasting impact. We didn't have no pads, no nothing. And it wasn't in the film, but when I hit the ground the first time, I went, ugh. And it was like, you know, one of those things, and I got up and I'm going, oh my God. I was standing there and I couldn't even stand up. And he's like, this is what you want, Shelby, you got to do it. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, you got to hit me. And he's a big guy. And I was like, not supposed to. And he's like, go with me, right? So I'm just like, I'm going, oh, my God. And it's like, and I'm like, no. He's like, no, you can hit me. And it's like, hitting him is like, my punch is like a little mosquito. But when he, like, threw me, and it's like, we're doing this thing for 2.5 hours. He, like, kicks me in the butt. I get up, and he's like, don't get that mad. And I did. And it's like, I'm throwing my nunchucks at him, and he flung me. And I just, like, went into this kid, and it's just like, it was funny. It was my own Jackie Chan moment. And it was like, I was like, after doing that, that gave me, I mean, talking about it and seeing all the films, but having the experience of starting to work on this stuff, I respect you guys so much more. It's kind of like, I understand, because it hurts. It really, really hurts. And for that magic in the film, for you doing fights and stuff like that, it's incredible. And for you not to, like, kill yourselves, you know, because I heard, you know, the difference in Asian films, you know, overseas, you know, where I watch all the subtitles and stuff, and here, I heard they're more crazier because they just go boom, 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 like that's what Jackie says, they go boom, 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 boom. Here, we're going to set up all these safety stuff here, and I was like, man, it's just some of the films that you see, it's like, you have to wait to go on DVD, and from, you know, other, you know, countries and stuff, like, what was it, I think Little Big Soldier? It's like, you know, they'll have it there, but it's like other films like that, you can't even see them in the movie theaters in some of them. Like up here in Maine, forget it. I have to wait to see them over my brother's house, you know, going there, who is like, I consider him a big brother like Jackie does with Samuel, right? So when I go over to his house, he gets these DVDs from overseas, so I have to see it, you know, in a house and on the theater. And it's kind of, it's great that I get to see him, but it's depressing at the same time because I love those films. You know, and it's like, I wish they would have them more, but I guess I got to move out of, you know, Maine to go see the films because it's stuff that I love, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, what they do over there is a little different than what they do here. Here, you have insurance issues, you know, and then the difference over here, as opposed over there, is, you know, it's based off Chinese opera and, you know, it's been thousands of years of history that's carried over into film. So the approach is much different, you know, and they're in comparison to the West, as far as their fight choreography, they have much more creative freedom than say we would to do a fight, and I think that, you know, the problem within the West is that we're still stuck with the rules of the Western brawl, where it's short, fast, to the point. Each kick and each punch is to knock you out, and it makes contact. There's no, you know, nobody has finesse. It's really rough, and they don't block. You know, it's just like all of a sudden you train all this, you know, even if it's a American martial arts film, they train all this time, and then when it comes to the fight, they just sit there and they take the hit. You know, and I think it's a subconscious thing. I think it's a very subconscious thing because of what we're used to seeing here. We're used to seeing, you know, John Wayne and you know, and all those, you know, Clint Eastwood movies where they just sit there and just it's a macho thing. But if you look at the history of how fight choreography has evolved since the silent films of Charlie Chaplin, they and Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd, what they do, it's very much like what the Hong Kong people do. It's kind of like a video game if you look at it, whereas, you know, usually the hero is much smaller, like Chaplin and Buster Keaton. They're much smaller, and the hero, the villain is bigger, you know, and they get knocked down the first time. You see the technique, you go, oh my God, what's that? You know, he knocked him over, and then you see the character think about it, and then they figure out a way to overcome it, you know, and that's, you know, yeah, whereas, and then, you know, and it got slowly got simpler and simpler once sound was, you know, once the film started progressing and they implemented sound and stuff. And, you know, unfortunately here in the West, you know, even if it's an action film, the action is a secondary thought. You know, they focus more on everything else, you know, and especially when it comes to fights. We get the least amount of time to put together a fight. You know, and each time, and if they're running over, it slowly diminishes the time. You know, like you might start out in a film and they'll go, oh, yeah, you got a week. Then as it progresses, you know, oh, well, you know, you got 4 days and, you know, 3 days, 2 days. And, oh, you know, you only got an hour. You got a half a day to train them. And, you know, it's like, oh, man. So that's the frustrating part. You know, and then also the editing is also another issue because,
we're not invited into the editing room. I was very fortunate when we did Battle B-Boys that I got invited into the editing room and helped edit the fight scenes. You know, just showed, you know, where the rhythm, where the edit points were, and what made it better.
Yeah, that's you know, that's kind of cool when it's like you get to learn about other things too. Because I even try to learn, you know, on my own and not going to school for it, but learn about, you know, to edit videos and stuff, and just having that experience. And I think I have a guest calling in that might want to ask you some questions. Is actually another guest here, so it's okay if I bring him in?
Sure.
Okay, let's see who this is. All right. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Shelly, this is Cal Nguyen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
Good, good. yeah, so I've been just listening in, and I was in the queue for like 2 hours now. I'm kidding. Hi, John Prang, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
hey,
how
Cal,
you doing?
How are you?
Good. Thanks, sir. I wasn't really familiar with your name, but I know your look. I know that face. So yeah, I recently read that, you know, you were the motion capture guy for Art of Fighting, one of the games,
yeah.
Right? So yeah, and that was like one of my games, you know, I played growing up, you know, SNK and all that. So yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, so you also know Vietnamese, because I'm Vietnamese American, and as Shelly, you know, Shelly and I we met on LinkedIn actually, and so that's how we came to know each other. And so, you know, I called in like 2 weeks, like a couple months back, whatever it was, but I produce a web series called Day Zero, and you know, we've got some. Fight scenes, you might call it, and Sheldon used to make fun of that a little bit, because I didn't incorporate more shots. I'm a stunt coordinator. I'm a big martial arts fan, but I never actually learned it myself. So you can see, you know, like in your head maybe like how something might happen, but we have like no time. Because on a website, you don't, you know, I can't afford it, because that was kind of guerrilla style. So I don't know if you've ever done any guerrilla style independent type of thing like that before.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. You have any what?
Have you ever done a guerrilla style filmmaking independent?
Of course.
Short,
My first three projects that I, well, actually, I coordinated for Roger Corman. I did three of his last three movies before he shut down his studio down in Venice, California. And first movie we shot within 7 days. And they were like,
oh, wow.
Well, yeah, 12 fights. So I was sleeping on the set. You know, we were doing crazy, crazy hours. of course, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, it's kind of, I remember Brian Kacken was the director, and he told me, he goes, hey, look, you know, doing this is just like you're in AAA. We're just asking you, can you hit it out of the park? You know, so that's essentially his approach to it. He goes, you know, you're in AAA right now. You know, see, you know, we just want to see if you can hit it out of the park. You know, if you can't, we'll use you for other stuff. And you know, they use me for the last two projects, you know, last three films before they shut down the studio.
Yeah, that's cool. It's, you know, yeah, guerrilla style is kind of, you're kind of winging it. I mean, you have a structure you set up before you go out and do it, but once you're there, you know, anything can happen.
I think the most important thing about choreographing a fight scene, when you got not much time, you know, and you gotta get it done quickly, is to know your shot list. You've got to have a shot list. You got to know whether you write it down or have it in your head. You got to know how many setups you're going to have, and if that's going to take up, you know, too much time. If you have too many setups,
too many camera angles, then you're not gonna make it happen. You know.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. This I remember this one time we were on the Carmen movie. It was hard as nails. We were there at 8 a.m. the day before, and it was like 4 a.m. the next day, and and the director, I was like, going, God, why is he letting me go? And then, you know, why is he letting, he let some of my team go, but my sound crew go, and then he kept a couple others. I go, what's going on? And then finally, at like 3:30, he goes, hey, we need a fight scene.
Oh,
and I'm like, going, okay, we need a fight scene. You got 15 minutes to put one together. I go, all right.
Oh, my God.
So he goes, so I said, all right, how do you want it to start? How do you, you know, any revelations in the middle? If you want, who lives, who dies, and how do you want it to end? And he told me, he goes, all right, it's these guys fighting this. You know, he goes from here to here, and this guy dies. I'm like, okay.
That's it.
So I had to piece something together really, really quick. You know, and you know, you see, it, you know, I had to pull it out of my butt. And that was my test of fire. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it actually, I don't mean to brag or anything, but that ended up being the best fight scene out of the whole.
Best, sometimes, yeah. I think that happens, you know. And, you know, inspiration, like, because, you know, you're being creative, it's just, you know, that's just a talent, I think, you know, and a skill. And
it's survival.
Exactly.
Being employable.
Right, yeah, it's like, you know, no choice. Yeah. Have to,
Yeah, totally.
And
we only had two takes, so
we had
two cameras. So in the middle, you know, we've been there for a long time, and you know, the guy holding the B camera said, "All right, I'm out of here," because he thought we were going to be like another hour. So he just, "I'm out of here." He dropped the camera and he goes. So the director was like, "Stop, pick up that camera." I was like, "Okay." So it was the B camera.
You go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like on my show, you know, it was basically me and one other guy, you know, most of the time. And he would take over boom because we lost our boom person, and so he would start booming, you know, and not get the credit because he didn't want that credit. So, you know, and I was the camera guy, and unless I was in front of the camera. So, you know, I do act on the show, and that's like one of the hardest things to act and be the crew at the same time, you know. But being in this industry, you know, what kind of advice could you give me about, you know, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build with Asian Americans, and so my character.
Hello.
Hi, you guys still there?
Yeah. What happened?
Oh, is Cal still there?
I'm here.
It's still...
Okay, also, did I lose you?
That's strange.
Cal?
Oh, did I lose you?
Please enter your password, then press pound.
I don't
Hello?
Know what... Can you hear me? Can you hear Shelly?
Unfortunately, Shelley? The system cannot process your entries. Please try again later.
Okay.
Hello?
Modern technology, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know how they started merging some other call, like I called myself again. That's so weird.
No,
Can
you guys
hear me? Calling yourself?
Yeah, that was like, what? Like, I'm going to call for myself. So, yeah, anyway, I got cut off. I was just asking, about, you know, how I was, I'm building with the show, because, like, you know, the characters I've been having, they don't have, like, Asian names, you know, so that's kind of a reputation I'm trying to build so that America can see us not in a foreign light, you know? And so, you know, do you see that happening as much as, like, you know, what would you recommend that you know, one, an Asian American filmmaker or an actor should be doing, you know, in the country? Because, you know, the reputation, you know, of Hollywood is kind of bad. you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, there's times where I go on auditions and they go, "We need the thick accent and all this other stuff," and you know, you got to kind of play the you know, stereotype. But you know, my advice is this: follow your vision, create a market. My personal opinion is this: the Asian American market has not been tapped. But the problem is, you know, I think, you know, to an outsider looking in, they think, well, you know, we're Asians, you know, but there's also these little sects. There's Korean Americans, there's Thai Americans, there's Chinese Americans, you know, and then stuff like that. So I think, you know, I mean, to simplify what I'm going to tell you is, I think the most important thing is to make your stuff as entertaining as possible. And what is your message? I mean, if you have a message, you know, whatever it is, if you have the message, don't hit them over the head with it. don't be so preachy. Don't be, you know.
Overboard.
Yeah, because, you know, it'll turn people off. You know, they want to, you know, think about what makes people want to see your stuff. You know, they want to escape. They want to enjoy it. They want to have fun.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, look what Robert Rodriguez did in Spy Kids.
Uh-huh.
He was in a multi-ethnic family, you know, and they didn't hit you over the head with it. They pointed out a few things, and they kept going. But, you know, it was entertaining, and it spawned some sequels, and, you know, it made a, you know, it was very successful.
Yeah, made it entertaining. I agree.
I mean, if you want to make the message the subtext, you know, sure. You know, as long as it doesn't get preachy. I think you know, as long as you're yourself, you understand what it is that the character and the message of what your theme is, then you should be fine. You know, and don't lock yourself down to one, you know, one genre. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that do just one thing, and they kind of paint themselves into that hole. So I mean, you know, just have fun. You know, the most if you have fun while doing this, people are going to feel that. They're going to know, oh man, that, you know, it just gets infectious. You know,
That's true.
I mean, have you read the book Rebel Without a Crew?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've read it.
It's written by Robert Rodriguez, and he talks about how he made El Mariachi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a funny
great read,
book.
Huh?
It's a diary. He talks about how what he went through to make El Mariachi, and there's this whole thing at the back of you know, for filmmakers and what you got to do. I mean, he's a total rebel, you know. I highly suggest if you're a filmmaker and you're serious about your craft, you know, that's one of the books you got to read. You know, there's several others too, like you know, it's an old book. It's Adventures of Screenwriter by William Goldman. The Writer's Journey by Chris Vogler. Making a Screenplay Great. And I can't remember the guy's name. I apologize.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot already.
Then there's books by Linda Seeger. She's incredible. You know, it's good screenwriting books. And then there's Story by Robert McKee. You know, they talk about all the stuff that, you know, that teaches you how to hook your audience, you know.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, just study.
You
study your butt off.
I actually bought the scripts, the original scripts, and I modified it. And all that, but I am worried about a season two of starting from scratch because there is nothing written. You know, I'd have to pull either myself and pull together other writers or something like that. But I don't know. You know, but
I mean, where are you living at?
I'm in Utah.
What I would do I'd just team up with a bunch of people and see, you know. See if you can find people that have the same vision as you do and collaborate with them and make it come true.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm like, I have these headphones thing on, and I wasn't too sure, but, you know, watching Cal's series, right, you know, it's kind of, it grows on you, and the thing is, you know, I try to help promote it and stuff, and I'm not a promoter per se, I just talk, and people like my energy and stuff, and, you know, watching it, it's kind of like half the stuff, like, on Netflix and out there, the crap that's out there, he really has a decent web series, and it's like, you know, like I said, I just talk, I don't know how to promote, so it's like, you know, how do you get it out there? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you probably know more than I would. I, like I said, I just talk and people like hearing me talk, but what could you give tips for Cal to get it more out there? Like, how are there places he can show it on the internet, other places than what he's doing?
Yeah, because I mean, we
promote it. You got to promote it. I mean, have you entered it in festivals?
We've won 3 awards already this year for the pilot.
Cool.
And
do you have,
else could I do beyond that? Because, you know, we have no big names or anything like that, you know.
Usually if it's a genre piece, you know, like it's got action or something like that, you know, names really don't matter as long as you have a gimmick. But, you know, I think what you got to do is you just got to create enough material and your following will slowly grow.
Well, okay, so it's just a matter of time or something.
Yeah, you just got to be persistent. You guys got to push it out there and, you know, get your name out there. You know, talk about what you do. I mean, talk about what you do to the point where you don't get obnoxious. just be, you know, hey, this is what I do, or, you know, just tag it.
Oh, right.
You know, post it online, and, you know, eventually, you just got to keep pushing, especially right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, right now in the age of digital media, I mean, cameras are so cheap now. Anybody can do a movie, but the thing is you got to do it well. You know, I'll take a look at your stuff. But, you
That'd
know, most important is doing it well and doing something different that no one's done before, or making it compelling, you know.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it's unique. It's in the post-apocalyptic series, but you know what separates us from, like, say, zombie stuff is that there's some of these guys who are radiated and they're not zombies. They never died. So that's what's unique. And so we don't put that kind of makeup on them, and they're not dead, you know. So, so it's kind of and they're far few between. So there's other like elements happening in play. So it's more of a character study and a relationship thing, you know, with the core ensemble cast.
Oh, cool.
And it's got that gritty look. We've been my cinematography. You know, I'm a camera DP guy. Has been compared to, you know, The Hunger Games. Actually, when I saw The Hunger Games, I went, wow, that's kind of like how I do it, you know. And so, and someone else told me that. I'm like, oh, wow, I guess I'm not alone. So, and so there's that grittiness. I think even Shelley brought up something about George Romero or something. But, you know, I mean, it has nothing to do with that, you know. But, yeah, I think we just released episode 7 today. And, you know, it's like 13 and a half minutes, but like episode 6 was 30 minutes. So it kind of ranges. You know, we don't write it for like commercials per se, but there are points where, you know, it goes into black and so you put it out of there. And so it's on blip.tv/day0tv. But if you go to our official site, day0tv.com, that's where you can, like, you know, go find under the videos.
Cool.
You know. Yeah, and then Facebook, you know, anything /DayZeroTV is us. So, yeah.
Cool.
So,
if you could
check it out, you know, give me some feedback, that'd be awesome. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, like I was telling you, you got to follow your bliss. You know, Joseph Campbell, you got to follow your bliss. And eventually, you know, you'll have your day, you know. And
right.
It's not like you're going to be, you know, when I say have your day, it's not like, I don't mean, you know, you're going to be everybody.
Right, overnight.
I was a stand-up comedian for 14 years, and one of the guys I saw come up was Sam Kinison. I was talking to my friend Steve Kravitz about him.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of the most amazing things, one of the things about him was that, you know, he was this overnight sensation. He said, no, it took him 10 years to get there, you know?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people don't want to understand that.
No, no,
you know,
you're right. And
about,
I've been acting since the late 90s, you know, not a real, little small time and did a lot of extra work back in the day, but I don't do that anymore. I've taken a lot of acting lessons since and been doing, you know, shorts and stuff like that, where I was lead or supporting, but not enough, you know, and I'm just trying to, and so that's what kind of why I took over Day Zero, to kind of, initially, when it was a springboard for my acting, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
so how's,
yeah,
it,
you know,
how's it been for you? How's it been?
Oh, it's been good. We've got over 400 likes on the Facebook page now. It's been about a year now since we first filmed, and I wrapped up actually in April most of it, and you know I followed up on a couple of things, but I had been releasing the episodes monthly, so pilot was actually last September, and then episode two started in April, so ever since every month I would release an episode. We got 10 of them. And it's not typical because, like I said, it's, you know, it's the longer format that would fit more of the half-hour slot, like, on TV. And so, yeah, it's not like The Guild or anything. It's not like 5 minutes, you know. Because how do you build character, you know, development or create an actual story arc here? Because, like, to me, an episode is actually multiple scenes, not just one scene, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's why I call it web TV series rather than just web series. And that's what's one, I actually am one of the pioneers, I think, in kind of starting that whole concept, because when we started it, it was, you know, actually it was under Kelsey Swenson, the original writer. She actually kind of actually was starting that whole process, but because it's under me now, you know, it's known through me. So others have started kind of to follow in that format. You know, and recognize it. Even Rich Barrickett from webseriesnetwork.com, he agrees. He agrees that's the kind of the future, you know, because, you know, like Shelley,
yeah.
She cut the cord, right? She's now on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, but to watch the same stuff that was on TV, right? So, you know, there is that market for a long form, you know, and not necessarily a short
form.
Yeah,
and a lot of studios are buying up a lot of these webisodes.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah,
because they need that content. So, yeah. I mean, just keep doing it until you start finding your niche and finding, you know, get your own following. I mean, that's my advice, you know.
I think, you know, you can't be viral, but, like, you can somehow get more social proof. And that's what we've been trying to do is, like, build up the fan base. And, you know, I mean, it'd be nice to have, like, you know, seeing like, you know, the Facebook page have 1,000 likes, you know, it'd be like an accomplishment, like a milestone, you know. And
the more you get it out there, the more it's going to be seen. You know, that's you know, that's all there is to it. You
that's
know,
bottom
it,
line, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, there's you got to be your own marketer. You got to do all this stuff. I mean, that's what we're doing. Battle
right.
People, we're marketing it, you know, and just getting it out there as much as we can.
Yeah, you're pretty big now, though, right? You've gotten, it wasn't overnight, like you said, right? So I think, you know, I mean, yeah, I kind of started I was kind of doing amateur stuff before, but technically I started the filmmaking thing. I got the filmmaking bug last year. So, you know, people were really impressed because we're no budget. And it was actually my budget, you know, out of my pocket. So... They think that they're just comparing it to television, not really comparing it to any other web series or anything like that. So that was, I feel that was a compliment. You know? So
great.
Yeah, I hope you know, if you like it, would appreciate like a mention somewhere or something.
Sure. Yeah. Send me the link and I'll definitely look at it.
Okay. Cool. Where do I send it to you?
Just send it to me Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Okay.
Oh, you can find him on my Facebook if you I'll I'll post something about John, and you'll be able to find him that way. Then, so you'll know his correct, you know, not a fake page. I mean, sometimes it's fake profiles.
Yeah,
I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll let you know which one.
Go ahead. I appreciate it. I'll friend you, and then I'll send you the link that way.
Sure.
Cool. And thank you, John. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, man, yeah,
thanks,
just keep, you know, just keep following your bliss, man. And then, they, you know, it's
awesome.
You just got, you know, if this is what defines you in your life, you just got to do it.
Yeah, that's great advice. So, good luck with, you know, all the stuff you're doing currently and in the future. Appreciate the talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take off, Shelly. I will talk to you later.
Okay. Talk to you later, Cal. All right.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
Bye, Cal.
Cal.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Cal Newen. He's he's been working on this series for quite a while, and you know, I give him a lot of props because I tell him, I like, Cal, you know, he should be like doing the leads, because I tell him he's been going off for audition, and best way than to write yourself as the lead to show, you know, because I saw him acting in one of the episodes, and I'm like, this is your baby, you know, your thing. How come you know, you're not doing more? And he's like, well, I have to run everything. And I was like, oh, because when I saw him in one episode where he was a lead for that one episode, I was like, you're really a good actor. And he's like, thank you. And I'm like, I think that's what you have to do. I says, you know, you have to become your own boss and start making your own films, but not to do the mistake that other people have.
Well, I mean, you just gotta go out. You just gotta study the market and know what others have done before you and see what they've done and what they weren't able to do, so you can kind of figure out what you need to do or retool or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and do like, see, I like what you're saying about, you know, follow your bliss, and it's like, it's kind of funny because everybody like you and everybody that's, you know, even whatever level they are in acting, they're just people, right? That's like people tend to forget, and it's like, they think a superstar is not a human being. And it's like, I tend to understand it in being, you know, working on film sets and stuff. And before, when I first said, like, one of my dreams is, you know, to work on a Jackie Chan set, and it's like, there's many different characters that, you know, work in his films, and people would yell at me, say, Jackie would never recognize you, and this and that, and blah, 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 and it's like, I mean, who are people to tell me that I can't do something? So when people like you and a lot of people, you know, I'm starting to connect with people that support me and believe me, they're like, you know, it's possible, you're just going to work for it. So it's kind of another way, when you said follow your bliss, it's almost kind of like the same thing, you just got to keep pushing along. And like what, people that are out there listening, you know, when they're down and stuff, what advice can you give them to hold on to, like, you know, to keep their dream alive?
Well, you got to be aware of people who are blocking your blessing. You can't, you know, there's always going to be, you know, for any noble or great thing you feel you want to do for yourself, there's going to be 100 people that are going to tell you you can't. And one of those people, and one person is your, you know, ourselves. You know, the most important thing is getting out of our own way. You know, that's one of the most important things. Knowing when you are blocking yourself, you know, from your own prosperity. You know, and the thing is, you know, other people live in fear too, so, you know, just because they don't think they can do it, they'll tell you you can't.
Yeah, and I've been posting about it. Oh, my gosh, no wonder why we're connecting, because I've been posting about this for the past couple of days, and I've been writing about it. I'm like, I write on this thing called Hub Pages, and I just read about that today, and you're sitting here talking about me. I'm like, no wonder why we connected.
Yeah, yeah.
No wonder why.
Yeah, things happen for a reason, and, you know, and you just gotta ask yourself, what is your definition of life? You have to ask yourself that, you know, as a creative artist, you have to really ask yourself, why are you here? What are you doing? You know, what is your purpose? Is it to do a 9-to-5, you know, and, you know, or is it to really do what you're, you know, put here to do?
Hmm.
You just gotta ask yourself
that. Yeah, because I definitely know it's like that I don't want to, you know, work at, you know, a 9-to-5 job. It's like I just, you know how you just know something inside of you. I've got like this little thing inside of me. I don't know if it's like a Tasmanian devil going, there's more to life than this or something. You know what I'm saying? It's just something, when I'm in a theater, if I had more money, I'd be at a movie theater every single day. or, you know, making more films and stuff like that, because it's really, you know, you're going to have at least a little bit of some small budget to make a film, even an independent film. And like Cal and everybody else and probably yourself, it's coming out of your own pocket. So, you know, you're trying to have a roof over your head, and if people have families, they have to take care of kids and stuff like that. But it's possible, and just to be able to sit in the movie theater, and the first time I saw myself on screen, and it's something where with that film Anna Kreer, and I played three different characters and even learned how to drive standard the day we shot, like what you said, which was really true. When you had 15 minutes to do a fight scene, I had to learn the day, because all we had was the car, and it was standard, and that day for the shoot, I had to try to learn to drive standard. And it was just like one of those things, I'm like, all right, I'm up for anything. Film sets, I'm just ready and ready to go. So it's kind of like, yeah. I think what's great about, you know, people, you know, like doing comedy and stand-up, you have a little bit of an edge. And it's like, I've done a little bit of stand-up myself, and comedy dinner theaters is people that just stick to the script. I think sometimes when they have to do something improv, they get scared. So people that are comedians and stuff, I think they're more comfortable when the director goes, okay, they throw something, a wrench in the works, and you got to do it this way. And it does freak people out. So people like you doing comedy, it comes natural, doesn't it? If somebody says, oh, we're going to change it to this on the spot. So do you think you feel comfortable more that way, if they throw something at you with a day?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the thing is, you know, when you work a club or you work a room, and, you know, things don't go out the way it's supposed to be, and you're being paid to stay up there as a headliner, and nobody's buying your jokes, you got to come up with something, or else you're going to die, and the promoter will never ask you to come back again. So you got to make something out of nothing, and that's I think that's the most important thing about being a creative artist on a set. You know, and what I love about being on the set is the collective buzz that's created when you have a whole crew that are all collectively coming together to make one vision happen with their, you know, each one's like a cog, an important cog that makes it all happen. And that collective energy, that buzz is intoxicating.
Do you have a favorite moment in a film that stands out in your mind out of mostly everything you've done? You know, what was your favorite, like, film to work on, or something that you'll forever remain in your heart? Do you have one of those moments on film, or just a whole bunch of them?
I can think of a couple. One was in Battle B-Boy, where there's this really important scene where I'm connecting to one of the dancer fighters, and I tell him this history of what's going on. I'm not going to say what it is, but you have to see it. But what happened was, it was a long day. We shot two fight scenes. I was really tired, but my girlfriend Melissa helped me, you know, with the scene, and it was hard to do, but while we were rehearsing it, because she was breaking it down for me and telling me, you know, once you try this, try that. And so what happened was, when we originally were going to shoot it, they didn't have the time to do it, so it kind of marinated in me for a little bit until there was a time to shoot it. So by the time it came for me to shoot, it was already a part of me, and I understood where the characters were emotionally, and, you know, how important that scene was. So I was able to do it in one take. I was just like, wow, you know, and it felt magic. It felt, you know, it was there. I mean, I made it. You know, I really embodied that character in that scene. You know, and you know, it was fun. And then there's another moment where something happened to one of the characters that I was able to kind of explain to him, you know, what he needs to do to restructure himself so he can move on, you know. So there was those are two scenes that were really, I was like, wow, okay. It's it's it,
it felt like magic. It was just it went smoothly, and you know, everybody was happy with it, and you know, the guy that was acting opposite of it, he goes, "Wow, you know, that was effortless. That was really nice." So you know, I felt like that was like a feather in my cap.
No. And was your character like kind of like a sensei to the kids in the set? Was that the type of feel of what your character is? Did you have to like teach the kids or something? You know, I don't want to say it's like a Mr. Miyagi type of thing, or you know,
was
you like a teacher? Okay, that's what I was getting a feel for it. Yeah, and.
Yeah,
I mean, these are the type of things that I like watching, you know, something where, you know, you see, like, sometimes the underdogs, and it's something like, do they have, like, what is the plot? Can you talk about anything about the film, any part of the plot, or, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a general, you know, plot line of it. Essentially, one of the kids needs money to so his father can have a heart operation. So he gathers his friends to do this thing called Defy. It's dance fighting to win money so the dad could get the operation. And then what happens is they learn a bunch of things about themselves along the way, and they learn teamwork. They learn little things about their friends that they never knew before. So and I play this guy named Jimmy who discovers one of the kids and says, hey, you want to make some quick money doing this? And in the beginning, you know, I'm like this gambler guy and I really don't care about them. And then I noticed that they really want it really bad. So I said, all right, I'll keep you guys on a short leash, but I'll teach you what you need to know. So. So and then they go on they have a bunch of, contests, and that's what happens. Yeah, they learn more about themselves along the way, and they learn about teamwork. They learn about a bunch of things.
Do you have when you were growing up? You know, speaking of kids and stuff, I know you said you liked Samuel, but did you have any inspirations or role models or people that you looked up to?
As a kid? Oh, yeah, it was Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I was thinking that was going to be my next question. I didn't know if you were going to say that because reading your IMDb page, it's like it's a book. And I was reading it. And is it true what it says about you watched Enter the Dragon over 60 times?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, did you see it? I mean, have you lived out in California most of your life? I mean, did you ever get to see it in, like, the Chinese Man Theater or anything? Or just, like, you just have to rent it?
No, I grew up back east. When I say 60 times, it's 60 times in the theater. That doesn't include home video or VHS, Laserdisc, or DVD. So I don't know how many times I've seen it when it comes to that or on TV. So, CC times in the theater. I mean, I grew up in the grindhouse era, and it was always a double feature. I grew up in Maryland, D.C., you know, and I would take a bus down to the black theaters and watch, you know, there's always like a black exploitation movie with a kung fu movie. So that's what I did. That's how I spent my weekends, you know, and usually it was like a Bruce Lee movie with coffee, you know, with Pam Grier or a Fred Williamson movie or something like that. So. that's how I'd amassed over 60 times. You know, I kept a record of it because my visual arts teacher in junior high school, she saw this and she told me, she goes, you know, I want you to, you know, mark down what you saw and you know, give me your comments on it on Monday. So I did that, you know, for a while.
You know, wow.
Okay. And she encouraged it. I mean, here I was in seventh grade and this woman. Her name is Mrs. Cosby, and she lives in Maryland, and she's awesome. One day she said to me, she goes, all right, John, this is your homework. You're going to watch this movie that's going to be on PBS this weekend, and I need a five-page report. And it was Seven Samurai.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
That's that film. film was a film school in itself. When you watch that movie, I've seen it so many times, and when you watch it, you're just like, oh my God, you know, just each frame is something you can learn from. Each scene, each moment is just amazing. Toshiro Mifune is a stud.
Well, wait a minute. What, did you say Seven Samurai?
Yes.
I'm like, I'm sitting there. I sometimes, like, if I don't watch something like 100 times, I forget the title of it. So it's kind of like, I wonder if it's something that I did see because I've seen so many movies. Unless it's like, of course, if it's Jackie, I probably watched the films so many times. But it's like, it's kind of like other films, I try to, like, really study them because I think once you start acting and stuff, like, getting into it, when you're sitting in the movie theater, I don't know if it's, you know, the same, like, as with me, I kind of, like, watch everything now. It's kind of looking at the continuity of the film, like, you know, they have, like, a play, you know, stuff like that. Do you do things like that, too?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes when I go see action films in the theater, my friends get kind of pissed off. They go, dude, you know, if I'm going to see a movie with that, like, because I'm like, all right, you know, why did you do that? Why is this? Why is that? You know. But, you know, the thing is, when I watch it, I watch a film with my critical side and my kid side that, you know, that tries to see it for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but you can't help but not, you know, you know, because if you're working it enough, you see all the inconsistencies. You see the, you know, the continuities and the gaps and all that stuff. So you just gotta, it comes with the territory when you do it enough times.
Yeah, and I sit there and it's like, you know, going to the theater, I wait to see drama films at home because I'm a big baby, right? I want to go. Now, most tickets nowadays are almost up to $15. Now, if I want to, you know, sit, if I want to cry, I want to cry for free. I'd rather go to the movie theater and be totally entertained because I want to go to the movie theater and feel good. So when I go and see, like, you know, action films and stuff, I get all excited. I like my blood pumping and stuff like that. And I don't think it's ever going to change, and it's something. I think it's scared ex-boyfriends in the past to, like, you're really crazy. And go, it's something I love, you know, sitting there going, yeah, and it's just, like, getting all excited. It's like people are like, you're going to get kicked out of the theater. And I says, but I love it. And it's like, you know, I can only go to the movie theaters with certain people because they get the same way like me. And I'm like, am I going to get arrested at the movie theater this week? You know, it's kind of like, you know, just being excited. I mean, that's what it is. Just, that's my whole world. If I could, I wish I could be at a movie theater every single night to see something new, but I think there's so many you can watch, you know?
Well, that's what DVD's for, you know, and cable, so.
Yeah, well, up here, I don't have a TV. I have my laptop, so I get, like, Netflix, so it's like I'm a kid in a candy store. But it's kind of like, with Netflix, right, it seems like they have almost the same films for, like, months and months and months. And you set up your profile. You know how you go the whole thing through Netflix and you have a certain profile, and it's like, there's films on there. I go, I would not even bother watching. I'm like, why is this even on here? I go, this is not stuff that I set up my profile for. And it's like you're trying to, like, look for certain films, and I'm like, well, why is this film on it and not a film that I want to see? You know, it's kind of like sometimes there's films you're going to wait a couple years or something on Netflix, which is crazy. And I'm so out of the loop since not having TV for like 3 years, so I have no idea what's on. I think the last series I watched was 24. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, that's the things that I like to watch. And believe me, you start talking about TV shows, I'm going to have no clue whatsoever.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, you just got to make it work for you, you know. You can make a, you know, like, what I love about living here in L.A. is that I can go down to Koreatown and get the newest Korean, you know, blockbuster, or go to Thai Town and get the newest John movie. Yeah. So go down to Thai Town and get the newest, Jackie Chan or, you know, Jet Li or anybody's, you know, any things that are out of Hong Kong. And that's what I love about, you know, L.A. It's a melting pot. It truly is a melting pot, you know. So, yeah, that's what I love about living in the city. You can get the newest stuff immediately. And the problem is, you know, just get a region-free DVD player. Because the thing is with what I do as a fight choreographer, I got to be on top of things. I got to know, you know, what's hot right now. And I can't wait for a U.S. distributor to wait 3 years to release a movie. And then what happens is, by the time they do release it, it's already secondhand news. It's already passé.
I have to get
a Regent Free player.
It's a what player?
It's a Regent Free DVD player.
Oh, why? Are they like, the DVDs, are they different from if you get them from other countries?
Yeah, what happens is the Regent Free DVD player plays DVDs from any country. So you're not limited to region one, which is the U.S. That's the problem. That's the problem that I've constantly had. So I have to get a region free player so I can see what's out there right now. Because if I don't, I'm going to be behind the eight ball as far as what's current and what's not.
Yeah, and I get so excited. I try to keep up with things and even finding out Tony Jaa's still making. He's making a couple of films, and it's like, trying to see and try to, look up things to keep up with it. And there's so many different, new martial artists coming out and, a lot of, I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but it's, another thing, too. When I like something, I like something. And there's these guys called the EMC Monkeys. I don't know if you ever heard of them. I see all their things on YouTube, right? And I guess Zen, he was the head monkey, and he was one of Jackie Chan's disciples. And I'm, watching all their stuff, and they've done these it's really great work. And I'm like, why don't they have – maybe you can explain it to me. And it's I have them on my Facebook page and stuff like that. And I'm saying, why don't these guys, since they're really good at what they do, how come they don't have blockbusters? Is it because they're Asian? What is it? What is the problem with America here? Because they're really great at what they do, and they – I'm just surprised, but what do you think the problem is?
I don't know. I don't know them personally, so I don't know what they're trying to do. I've heard that, I know they're a stunt team. A stunt team doesn't make a film, that's the thing. You have to have a story. The story has to, the stunt has to be within that story. So, mm-hmm. If you just have a bunch of stunts, you're going to have a very limited audience. People go to see a movie so they can escape. They don't want to see people jumping off buildings for no apparent reason. There's got to be a reason for it so they can lose themselves.
They I was watching some of the stuff, and they had this awesome trailer, and I think it was called Black Dragon. I was like, well, where's the film? And it says, well, we did a trailer, and I'm like, that was an actual film. And I'm like, man, if I had money, I'd be making sure they'd be getting that film made. And it's kind of I don't know. I'm not a promoter or anything.
I'm not aware of what they did with that movie Black Dragon or anything, but it seems like they're wanting to create a niche. So, there's a bunch of groups here trying to create the niche, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there are a bunch of stunt groups that are out trying to create their own, create a niche, getting people to see them. The thing is that sometimes, some people are wanting to get studio intervention, and the problem is, you gotta have a name, you gotta have a solid story for them to get involved with you. So, it depends on what you want to do. Right now it's kind of like the Wild Wild West, because of the economy and digital media, and things are getting so cheap to be made these days. People are coming out with their own movies. It's like kind of what we did with Battle B-Boy. You just got to do your own thing. And that's what a lot of people are doing right now. You just got to create your own vehicle.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here, I think, I don't know if this is Cal. Someone else is on the phone again right now. It looks like it's Cal's number, so is it okay to bring him on again?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's see. This is him. It's not coming back up. Okay, let's see. So I'm trying to press the button. Okay. Huh. Let's see if this is going to work now. Hi, caller. You're on the air? Hello? Maybe his butt dialed the phone. Hello, Cal, are you there? Because it called, he must have butt dialed because it said it was on hold. Oh, well. He's going to get a message from me saying, hey, did you butt dial me? Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I just disconnected him. I don't know. Maybe his butt didn't dial his phone or something.
Yeah.
I had a couple of glitches where it was a computer thing that went off, and I was like, I thought my phone got disconnected. I mean, this whole thing, I've only had the show for about 2 months, and I'm affiliated with another show, and they're like, well, show you got a personality, you know, and I was like, okay, I'll try to run this to my best ability. I think I'm doing good so far. So,
yeah, you are. You're doing good. You're doing great.
Well, thank you. And I just, I mean, is there anything else that you want to speak about? I mean, I'm trying to, like, look at your IMDb page. I'm trying to, like, multitask at once. And I think you did something about it says bully-proof your child. Now, were you talking about bullies? I mean, what was that all about?
Oh, that was written by one of my close friends. His name is Keith Vitale. If you're a Jackie fan, you would know him. He was in the movie Wheels on Meals.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was him and Benny Urquidez. So I've known him since I was 18 years old. And he wrote a book about, you know, how to deal with a bully. So he asked, you know, he's known me since I was 18, and we talked about, you know, what happened and stuff like that. And he says, why don't you, could you write that, you know, and, you know, so you could put him, so I could put it in a book. And he goes, yeah, sure. So I, you know, it was one of the experiences I had when I was a kid, when I got picked on, and what I did to deal with bullies. So, yeah, that's, you know, he's an incredible guy if you ever meet him. He's a positive mentor to so many people. You know, he's just amazing.
Yeah, it's sitting here just going through your whole thing here. It says that something about, did you work with, it says work with both, let's see, a couple people, like Steven Seagal and David Carradine. And how was it working with Steven Seagal? I mean, I'm sorry, Steven Spielberg. Oh, sorry. Wrong Steven. Steven Spielberg. Was he pretty cool on set?
That was an amazing experience. I'm working on Hook. you're transformed into Pirate Town. If you saw the movie Hook, what they did was they took two sound stages and knocked down a wall. And it was, at the time, one of the biggest sound stages in the world. And you walked in and you were totally transformed. You did not have to act. You were just immersed by the whole Pirate Town. I was on that movie for 3 months doing some stunts, and also that was, you know, you're asking about magical point in time. That was an amazing time. I was working on the movie doing stunts from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Then after that I would drive to the Comedy Store and do a set, and I did that for 3 months because I was working on my first TV spot as a stand-up comedian. So I only operated on like maybe 6 hours of sleep a night, I didn't need an alarm to wake up in the morning, you know. And I knew then, I was like, wow, this is, how many people can say they're doing this, you know? So that was a lot of fun. That was a magical experience, you know, just working on set and just, you know, just seeing this magic happen, and then coming to, you know, going down to the Comedy Store and performing, you know, working on my first TV spot. It was Into the Night with Rick Dees. Yeah. So that
oh,
was, that
I remember
was,
Rick Dees. I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I was like, wow, this is how many people could say they're doing this? I felt truly, truly blessed when that all happened. But
something, you know, it's just so awesome. Like when you're able to look back on things, because it's like, you know, you're doing things, and it's like here I am, you know, struggling, and I've been working every single day for the past 7 years, and it's kind of like, I can do it, and it's like, things that I want to do, and, you know, every opportunity I get, no matter how tight I'm trying to do the best I can, because I was training for a year in Tai Chi, like, before work and stuff, and I kind of hurt myself really bad, and it had nothing to do with films, it had nothing to do with anything, I just happened to fall, and, you know, it was just something, it was something really stupid. It was just like one of those tiny things that fell. My leg went somewhere, my knee popped real loud. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, this was over a year ago, and I couldn't walk for 3 days. And I'm sitting there going, what am I going to do? I can't call out a sick out of work. I got to pay, you know, a roof over my head. And there I was, because coming up here to Maine, the reason why I came up here, you know, it was like I got away from people, and I have to give big props to the guy that I call my big brother, a whore, that I get to work with on films. And he says, you know, come up here because people were really mean to me, like with what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with Jackie, and it was people yelling at me all the time. It was so bad. So he says, get up here and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I want to get a job and stuff. So trying to get a job. And when I got my little place here, I didn't have a bed. I slept on the floor. The heat wasn't working. And, you know, I'm trying to get the stove going. And a stray cat showed up at my door. I'm sitting there, you know, next with the cat on the wood floor next to the stove. And I was like, okay, you know, just trying to keep, you know, going and stuff. And it's like just thinking back, it's like how hard it was. But here I am, you know, able to have these opportunities because I stuck with it. Like doing your things, writing kids' stories and, you know, doing a radio show, doing films, and just sticking with it. And it's here I am, and it's like, I feel blessed. It's like, it might sound crazy to you, but I feel blessed because you're here sitting on a radio station with me, and I'm like, I'm in like seventh heaven right now. It's just something where, I mean, it's just how I am. I get so happy because it's like, these are the moments that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. It's kind of like I look back and I go, wow, I survived all that just to get to here. And it's kind of like right now I feel like, I don't know if this is a natural high or something. I'm kind of sitting there going, woo, and I'm like, I'm so excited. I don't know if you've been ever so excited when you feel like you got to, like, pee or something like that. I mean, I just get so excited, and I'm like, man, I hope there's no golden showers on the show right here, but I'm just like, you know, because doing a two-hour show, I mean, it's not scripted, you know, and I just, like, I just talk. That's all I'm doing. It's like, I just run with it. I don't know if I sound like I have diarrhea in the mouth or something, but I just go with it.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, you're doing what you love to do in your life, and that's most important. You know, you refine yourself along the way, and you know, that's the process.
Yeah, it's kind of like where I'm, you know, I just can't give up. And it's like the thing that I've noticed, too, is that, like, it's just really with it. Now people are starting to see what I have in my heart. Like on my Facebook page, I even have some fans. And they ask me, okay, can you send a picture with an autograph? And I'm like, like people are saying really kind things more and more. And I'm like, I'm not used to this. And they're like, we want to see you work with Jackie. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, when people say, I'm like, I don't know how to take compliments, you know?
Yeah. Well, you got to believe it in yourself, you know, before anybody else does. You know,
I do. I mean, before, because I was surrounded with the most negative people, and it used to make me really sick to my stomach. So it's kind of like you find those positive people, and it's like that they, even if it's just a couple of people, and I believe I don't have to have a whole entourage of people to, like, make me feel good about myself. If I have if I can count 10 people on the, you know, my fingers on both of my hands, that's all you practically need, because it's kind of like those two people will be true instead of having, like, thousands of people that are false. I'd rather be like that and just be happy-go-lucky, and it's like having these opportunities. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed with the biggest smile on my face. Tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll be like, did that really happen last night? Was I dreaming? I mean, did someone kick me in the head, or I fall down the stairs? And it's just, it's really, I mean, thank you so much for being on here, and you know, are you going to be, do you have any other films coming up, anything in the future besides, you know, the other one you were just talking about?
Actually, right now, I'm working on a short, we're in post-production right now. I was a second unit director and one of the writers, and, it's called Kung Fu Fight. It's a Chinese director, and also, my girlfriend Melissa Tracy is starring in it, so it's, you know, kind of keep it in the family. It's a fun short. We do a lot of, like, Hong Kong style fights and action in it. So that's in the works. We're in post production on it right now. We're cleaning it up, and you might be hearing about that within the next couple months.
I'll be so psyched.
yeah. got what else? We got a couple things coming up that I can't really discuss about right now because it's because we're still working on the final details.
Mm-hmm.
On October 20th at the Martial Arts History Museum, October 20th, we're having two screenings of Battle B-Boy where we're going to have a live demo and a Q&A afterwards. What we like to see this is as a summit of dance and martial arts disciplines all coming together and talking about the commonalities of between dance and martial arts. So that's, you know, it's funny because the dancers have always imitated martial artists and put them in their moves and, you know, kind of, and it's been cross-pollinating. Same thing with the martial artists taking dance moves and making it a martial art. So, this is going to be like an open forum where everybody can, you know, get together and kind of meet and mingle and talk after the screening. And we're going to have a live demo and a Q&A afterwards on both screenings. So hopefully if you're out in the Burbank, Los Angeles area, you know, hopefully I'll meet you guys out there.
Oh, man, I just, like, see, I'm on the other side of the United States, and, like, the winter's coming. It's, like, it's almost like living up at the North Pole, but, you know, I came up here, and it's, like, you know, people have been inviting me to things, and I can't get to them, and it's, like, I'm so thankful that people, like, you know, even want to invite me to things, and it's, like, maybe someday I'll get out to California, because the two films I'm doing is just being dedicated, and it, you know, it's kind of like, man, I'm missing these opportunities, but in the long run, the two films that I'm involved in right now, it's really going to have my heart in it, and I think that's what people are going to see and appreciate. And it's like, to follow through and finish what I'm doing, I think it's going to inspire people to do what they want to do, and that's what I'm hoping to give back. You know, people are helping me, you know, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's great. If that's your underlying message in what you do, that's great. You know, you're giving back, you're empowering others instead of taking away. That's great.
Yeah, because a lot of people I've sat in the, like, you know, I only consider myself like an independent, you know, kind of film girl, you know, like that likes chick flicks, want to work with Jackie and all these things. And it's like a couple people I actually called on Facebook, and they were like, you know, I saw her on their Facebook walls, and they felt like depressed and stuff like that because they wanted acting and modeling and stuff. So I was like, well, what's the matter? And it's like, I asked them for the phone number, and I called them, and they're like, oh my God, this is Shelley, you're just someone. And I'm like, okay, because I don't know if they thought maybe I wouldn't respond or something, because it's like, you know, when I see someone that feels down and all they want to do is just act, and if they're paying a roof over their head, they're taking care of the bills, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I don't know, maybe it's because people that have nothing to do with even working in independent films, I don't think they understand that's part of a person's heart. And it's like, when you stab that really does hurt a person. And it's like, who is anybody to say that somebody can't do something? And I'm like, you know, you get up and you go in front of a camera. I'm like, and it's like, I don't think I can do this. They go, why? Is someone holding a gun to your head that you can't do it? Is someone tying you down to a chair? You just get up off your bed and just take that first step. That's all you have to do.
Well, I see it in a lot of people. You know, they want to live a safe life. And you know, you got to ask yourself, again, you know, what is your definition of life? You know, it's what you make it, you know, and a lot of people, you know, operate in fear, or you know, I don't like to have too many regrets in my life.
Mm.
You know, so
yeah.
I don't want to have too many what ifs. You know, when it's like, God, what would have happened if I had done this or done this? Or, but no, I can't do that. You know, I mean, you got to choose your challenges wisely, but you just gotta, you know, just gotta ask yourself. You know, I mean, what would happen if you did? What would happen if you did? You know, so I mean, that's my whole belief in life. I mean, you just gotta, you know, I'm not saying that it's easy. Once you do, it gets tough. I mean, there are times when you're gonna hit these pockets where you just go, man, what the hell am I doing? But you know, you gotta, you know, you just, the universe, God, Buddha, Allah, whoever gives you these obstacles to make you a stronger person. You know.
Mm. Yeah, it's a belief in something inside and strong your heart, and you have to have this strong thing inside. It's kind of like, you know, I guess 7 years ago when I first started getting into this, I kept saying, there's no way. There's no way. And it's like, yeah, now I'm like, yeah, there's a way. It can happen. It can happen. I just get, you know, I'm in a different frame of mind. And
yeah.
Maybe it's because I finally found some people that says, why can't you? Instead of saying, no, you can't, somebody would say, like back to what my big brother, my teacher and the guy that I work with on set, he's like, well, why can't you? What's stopping
yeah.
you? It really was me. And it's like, I think you worm through its age because maybe because it's like, not really in a bad way, but it says, I think years ago it was because I was kind of stupid. And I was hung around, you know, the most negative people because they didn't want to change. They didn't want to evolve. And I want to keep learning and growing. And when I'm working on set, if I ever work with you, John, and be sitting here and watching and going, I want to worm with the people that have the experience. You know, not just going to school, but having the hands-on experience and see, like, I'd be watching you because people always said to me, when you're on set, you know, watch and observe what people are doing, even if it's the boom mic, you know, the director, the actors. Watch every single thing you can and learn and observe. I mean, stay out of the way, but, you know, watch everything. And that's what I do. I study people. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm sitting there and, you know, when I go to set, it's a job to go there and work and not to, like, date and everything like that. And it's like, because I've seen things. You know, I kind of like, I've seen things over the years, and I'm just like, no, not me. I'm on set. It's there to do a job, because I think people sometimes, I don't know what people think. It's acting on a set is just like any other job in the world. It's different, but it is a job, and
yeah,
that's what I try to tell people.
Yeah, I mean, it is a job, and, you know, a lot of times people think, that when you're doing something creative, it's not really a job, it's not really a craft, it's not really a discipline sometimes, who don't create and they don't carry themselves professionally. Yeah, I've seen it all the time. I, you know, when I was in art school, I saw that all the time. I saw people who thought, well, I'm an artist, I could do whatever I want, I could be pompous, I could be this and that. And I was like, no, that's not the definition of what an artist is. It's actually the opposite, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then it has to be because, you know, being an artist is very, there's no set rules like you would, you know, a technical 9-to-5. You know, I'm not putting it down, but, you know, there's black and white rules on the 9-to-5. You stay in your cube, you don't bother the guy in the next cube, all these things you have to know, but, you know, in the creative world, it's kind of it's not as clearly defined, you know. I mean, there's stuff you have to know, like when you're on a set, certain things to do. But you know, it when it comes to being a creative entity, there are rules and there's no rules. You know, you have to figure out what rules you have to adhere to and work with, and what holds you back and what makes you soar. So it's just and sometimes, you know, that moral compass is kind of twisted sometimes, you know. So.
Yeah, and you got to do with what you're saying and stuff that I listen to. It's like, I think what it is people that are creative and artists, they're compassionately passionate. And they have, you know, they stand out, they're different. And what I tend to notice, too, is anybody that trains in martial arts, right, they're the most compassionate people. And the experience that I had, the shoe was on the other foot where, you know, I'm here in America and I grew up, you know, and my background's white. I'm like part of being Italian and of Irish descent. So, you know, learning going to a dojo and learning in capoeira, which is African Brazilian, it was taught in Portuguese. So there I was, right, in the dojo trying to learn. Well, it's being taught in another language. So I'm like, it was so hard. And believe it or not, even though, like, people that don't understand, unless you're really sitting there, capoeira is a very hard martial art to learn. And
oh,
I don't know. Yeah, and just sitting there learning, and it's like, you know, a lot of the masters, when they came over from, like, Brazil and stuff, they didn't, you know, half of them are, like, little guys. And there they are. They can't speak English. I mean, they had interpreters and stuff. And there they were sitting with me, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and they're very kind. You know what I'm saying? But when you're seeing them kicking butt and stuff in the circle, in the rotor, in the circle when they're going at it, it's like, I'm scared, but I was excited at the same time. And the weirdest thing is, I hate fighting, and I don't really, I never really like competitions, but I like the movements. Do you know what I'm saying? Because martial art is an art form, and when I see someone, it's like, I saw a picture of you, and you have your foot all the way up in the air, and I'm going, I wish I could do that. And it's kind of like, still, you know, I'm starting to walk normal again from like what happened with my injury with my knee. And I'm like, I don't think it's impossible. It might take a little while for me to stretch out like that. But I see you see the picture on your Facebook page. I was looking at your pictures and I'm like, he's got his leg all the way up in the air. Can you still do that? I mean, just like, you like got it up like way up in the air. And I'm like,
you want to hear a story about that picture? What happened was I used to compete on a national tournament circuit, and I had to retire when I was 24, and because I tore my groin muscle, and that went to the doctors, and they said you know, it's a really bad tear, you know, we're gonna have to go in and operate and this and that, and I'm like going. Yeah, I went to like three different doctors, and they all wanted to hack and slash my leg up. And I was like, well, you know, something told me not to do that. So this voice in my head told me, don't. That's all right, fine. So that's, you know, to make a long story short, I got in a, you know, I did a bunch, went to college, became an art major, you know, and then I became a stand-up comedian. And during all that time, I didn't get my leg worked on, so I did other things with my life. And then I was touring at this place out here in Hollywood, and it was like a fair, you know, and one of the tents that had stand-up comedy, and that's where I was performing at. And I was walking around, and I saw this doctor who was giving out this herbal tea, and they were giving out samples, and I was trying it. I was like, wow, this is really good. So we started talking, and the doctor said, look, you know, I told him about my injury, and he says, look, you know, you should come to my office and we'll talk about it. If I don't put your leg back together and you're better than you were when you were fighting, you don't owe me a penny. So I said, wow, what a deal. So I was in therapy for about a year, and my leg got better, and he said, you know, I could start working out, and then once I started training, he said, you can start fighting, you can start doing all this stuff. And right when he started saying that, I could start training about 2-3 months later, I got my first gig doing stunts, and that was with Fighting Chess. So that was, what happened was, I forget the name of the magazine, there was one of the magazines that did an article on me, and they wanted some photos, so me and my friends, we went up to Griffin Park, and we took that photo and a couple others that you might see on Facebook. Yeah. So that is a miracle photo for me. You know, it's just like, you know, that's one of those things that you just gotta keep persistent, gotta believe in that vision, and you know, come true. You know, when I was away from martial arts, I learned a lot. I learned how my students were. I learned, because I mean, I've been doing it since I was a kid. So all I knew was what happened in the dojo. I didn't have, I had some day jobs here and there, but most of my job was in the dojo, so I didn't understand what it was like in the real world. So I developed compassion for my students. You know, I understood why sometimes they weren't going to show up to class, and you know, and stuff like that. I didn't understand it until I started getting out there, and I feel like I'm a better instructor because of that, and I just a more compassionate person, because I was a real hard ass. I was like, you know, why did you show up? Da da da. You know, stuff like that. You know, because it was done to me. Because my teachers knew that I didn't have a life. All it was martial arts.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I'm like, I think that's kind of cool, though. It's kind of like, you know, hearing that, like, okay, you overcame that. I'm like, ooh, that's more inspiration for me. It adds fire to my, you know, like fuel to my fire, like. You know, we can overcome it. I can too. And it's like sitting here because I still feel a little bit pain in my knee. But it's like I know, you know, like I said, I'm starting to walk normal and I'm starting to work out a little bit more. And it's kind of like anything's possible, but, you know, like with injuries, what I did want to ask, you know, because like I said, I have diarrhea in the mouth, one thing leads to the other, and the thing is, what was that your worst injury, or did you have any other injuries that you can talk about? Like during filming stuff or anything?
Oh, God, yeah. When I almost got run over by a car when I was working on that Jet Li movie.
I'm sorry for laughing, but it's just like, how did you get, were you doing the stunt there? Like, what happened?
What happened was, in the fight, I was the last guy that Jet Li beat up. I was, in the fight that we choreographed, I was the exclamation point. An exclamation point on the big fight is the last guy takes the biggest hit. So I took the biggest hit. So because of that, I was the last guy to run away from him and get in the car and drive off. So what happened was I had to pretend to hobble back, and I did. And what happened was if you watch the movie, there's these old muscle cars, 60s and 70s, and these muscle cars. You know, it had a 350 engine and stuff like that. So what they had to do was the driver had to make sure we all got in. And they backed away. He put it in reverse and slammed on the gas. So what happened was he didn't see me get in since I was the last guy.
Oh, no.
So as I'm about to get in, and he starts gunning it. And I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? So I'm running along with the car, and the passenger door is still open. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, what am I going to do? Am I gonna dive over this thing? And you know, when we shot, the ground was full of rocks and broken glass. I was like, oh man, if I jump over this thing, there's a very good possibility my leg's gonna get clipped, and I might get trampled by. You know, so I was like, okay. But what if I duck? What if I dive? If I dive, the car door might hit me in the head, and that'll be it. And I said, okay, I am running with this car. So I essentially ran the car. I sprinted with it. I had one hand on the passenger door and one hand on the roof. And the guy in the passenger seat was looking at me as if I was going to die. He had this frightened look on his face. He's like, you know, he was a stuntman too. And he's like going, he freaked out. He's like, oh my God. He had this look on his face. He couldn't say anything. And I was yelling as loud as I could, stop the car, stop the car, stop the car. And you couldn't hear me because the engine was so loud, and there's a walkie-talkie that they had, and the producer and director was saying, stop, stop, stop. And you couldn't hear me because the engine was so loud.
Oh, my God. Finally,
they stopped, and I was like, oh, man. And I just collapsed. And then Jet ran up to me, and the producer, Roberta, ran up to me, and they were like, are you okay? You okay? Because they saw it. They went, oh, man, this is it. This is... and then I said, no, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then they wanted to do another shot. I'm like, oh, dude, you gotta give me 30 minutes. Give me like 30 minutes to get my legs back together, so I can do this. And man, yeah, it was a very hairy moment.
Oh my God, I can't believe we've been almost on the air for 2 hours because it's like 8 minutes left. So I'm like. I gotta have you back on the show because I want you to tell me all about the crippling effects of working on like sets and stuff. So I think it's like, you know, it's kind of funny when you're working on a set. Any place in the world, it'd sound crazy, but it's like if you say like, yeah, I kind of got beat up like by Jet Li on a film set, I'm getting crap. It's like it's kind of cool. So it's kind of like, you know, if you really think about it, like anybody that's not into action films and stuff, you say, yeah, I got beat up on set. This was cool. And people will be looking at you like, okay. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah.
It's kind of like an honor to get beat up by Jet Li.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's. You know, it is an honor, and also you just kind of, not many people get to say they did that it happened to them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the cool thing about it. No, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, did you see Battle B-Boy yet?
No, I didn't see it yet. On my downtime, I'll have to, because I work, like I said, I work 10 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. And then also, I'm going to have to watch it because you said it was on Amazon, right? You can, like, get it off of there, right?
It's on Amazon. It's on iTunes. It's on video on demand, depending on, you know, who your cable, you know, your cable provider is. It's on video on demand. It just depends on who you have. If you don't have it, ask for it. And then, you know, just ask for it. You know, go get it.
Yeah, I'll just say I'll probably definitely enjoy it. I'm like, oh, look at this, John.
Yeah, and just, you know, if you guys can, you know, just follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You know, we have our own page on Facebook and Twitter and on all the things that's happening with it. You know, it's a truly independent project.
Yeah, I got you guys. I got them on Facebook, and I said that you were going to be on my radio show, and I was asking, you know, if any of the kids had, well, they're not kids, but I guess can tip here to you and me, they're kids, I mean, in their 20s or something, and it's like, yeah, if any of them, you know, I'd like to have them on the show, because I was like, yeah, and even have any martial arts experience, because it's stuff that I like talking about. You know, it's kind of, that would be great to get some of them on the air if they have time or something.
Sure.
You know, that would be great.
I'll round them up. Let's set up a time and I'll round them up and get them on for you.
Oh, that sounds cool. I'm like, I don't, maybe like in another, maybe, let's see, I'm trying to think what I have set up for shows, but I can let you know off of Facebook. So I think that'll probably be good to see what my schedule is so far and then get back to you on it. And I'd love to have you as a guest on the show once again. This was so much fun, and I'm like, I feel like I'm dreaming. Like, I almost have a natural high. I go, this really happened today with John?
I wake up and get over it.
Yeah, I think I will. It's just like, when I have new opportunities, I'm like, wow, this is really happening. It's like, you know, I think you understand when you go through so much, and finally the good stuff, that, you know, that cream is coming in. It's like, you know, it's like you work to get the cream. It's like, the cream is slowly pouring in. I'm kind of liking it. I hope we get used to it.
Yeah, and you just gotta let it feed into itself, and then you'll get more. You know, it is. You know, you're manifesting it whether consciously or subconsciously. You know.
Yeah, and having people, just finding people even by accident, it's kind of like, wow. I think God and the universe, like, here's something else, Shelley, because I keep saying it's like putting it out there for the universe, and that's what everybody's told me. Put it out there for the universe, and it's kind of cool that people, like, now saying, even people that aren't in the business, they go to me and they wrote on my page on my Facebook, I want to see you work with Jackie. And I'm like, now people are starting to say this on my page, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, thank you, because when people give me a compliment, I'm just, people like say, you know, just take it graciously, you know. And I'm like, thank you so much. And it just feels so good that now people like saying, I want to see you work with Jackie and like other things. And I'm like, wow, it's kind of a nice change, but I like it, you know? So, you know, John, I want to have you back on the show. I only got about 2 minutes left, and I don't want to get you disconnected. And, you know, anytime you have any projects you want to promote, just put them right on my Facebook wall. I have no problems, whatever. You know, you can put whatever you want on my Facebook wall.
Thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it, Shelley. Appreciate it.
Okay. And you'll definitely hear me on Facebook, too, okay?
Well, cool. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for everything. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And it was an honor and a blessing to have you on my show tonight. Thank you very much. And you have a good night, John.
All right. You too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, peeps, that was definitely cool. That was John Krang, and you can actually, his last name is spelled K-R-E-N-G, John, J-O-H-N, so you can actually look at his IMDb page, his work and stuff. And if you find me on Facebook, you will find the real page for John. Now, I'm going to end the show, and I only have 2 minutes left, so let's see. What am I going to end the show with? What song? Okay, let's see. I guess one of my theme songs. 90 seconds left, so you guys only hear a little bit of the song. But anyway, everyone, have a good night. All right, bye-bye.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on a bond, my pain stronger. Fame's smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. I die right here.